Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Depend on it.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangled Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
From high in the mountains in North Georgia in the Bojangled Studio, this is Works Radio. Welcome to the program, everyone. 4 to 6 a.m. every Saturday morning, we're talking outdoors. No politics at all. Outdoors. You, your family, fishing, hunting, outdoors, camping, and hiking. Your questions, your comments, and your observations. Now, I didn't do this in the first half portion of the program, but I'm obligated, and with a great pleasure, I tell you that this program is brought to you every Saturday morning by Works Tools, Stripling's General Store, The Tough Shed, Snellville Heating and Air, Rocco's Pub, the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, State Parks and Historic Sites, Big Green Egg Smokers and Grills, how do you live without one of those, and True Turn Hooks and Roadrunner Lures. So welcome to the program, everyone. It's 7.5 minutes after the hour. We'll get to the calls right after the first break. And then in this hour, we'll have the Rocco's question, more from the mailbag maybe, and of course, the Medal of Honor tribute and how we got to do that. What was the story that made that happen? And the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255. You can listen to this program live every Saturday morning on WSB Radio, 95.5 FM and 750 AM across 38 states, and the sports broadcast, the SB Nation Radio, with 155 stations across the country, Seattle to L.A., Miami to Maine, with some of those big stations that are involved. I hope you join us for the program. It's not just me, it's you. And I hope that you'll enjoy the show. And maybe after it's over every week, not necessarily from me, but from other people who call, maybe you'll be encouraged to go fishing and hunting and be more successful. This is O'Neill. We'll be back. I promise. I got hot coffee. Welcome back. 12 minutes after the hour. Before we get to the first call, let me invite you to go to O'NeillOutside.com. Right there on the homepage, you can click on the VOD networks, whereby you can see all the places from Carbon TV to Waypoint TV to the Hunt Channel, Destination America, you know, all the channels where you can watch the videos of O'Neill Outside on demand, and you can watch them there on the website too. You can order my book called O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. I will autograph it for it and mail it to you, and let's see what else to do there. You can check out Facebook, and oh, here's something that's, well, we've been doing it for a little while. You'll enjoy. On the homepage, you'll see a big medallion there that says podcast. And you can listen to the podcast every week while you're in the truck, if you want to. Or you can watch the show as it airs on the VOD networks. Okay, what's next? Before we do anything else, he's been holding on quite a little while. Let's talk to John. He's calling from Lilburn. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
That last caller about not having a license.
Yeah.
When my dad, back in the early 60s, uh-huh, used to work a drag line crew, dragging canals so they're pretty secluded. They can go fishing when they wanted to.
Uh-huh.
My dad always carried a license, and they didn't worry too much about what he called the mullet marshals back then.
Oh.
And, but sure enough, one day a game warden pulled up, and my dad knew what to do. He threw his pole down and just went running. And the game warden came running after him, and he ran about, 5 minutes, stopped, turned around, and game warden says, "I got you fishing without a license." And he said, "I got a license." He goes, "Well, why were you running?" He goes, "Why were you chasing me?" And of course, by the time he figured that out, all his buddies had gotten their tackle bus and just, hauled tail out of there. So he was covering 3 or 4 people at a time, but they were down in the middle of nowhere in South Florida,
Oh, yeah.
But he just always said, "Why are you chasing me?" And it's like, "I don't know. I got a license." But I just thought, I encourage always licensing yourself that,
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that made for a cute story.
Yeah, in Georgia, we have that that sportsman's license. That just gets just about everything, but trout stamps and the migratory bird stamps and duck stamps. So
he had nail on that trout stamp, didn't he? $500. Wow.
Yeah, it's
they call it before. Yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive. Sure enough.
Yeah.
So when's the last time you've been? Have you been fishing this spring yet?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay.
My brother's been several times down in South Georgia, but he won't take me. I don't know why.
Didn't like you.
No.
Does he not like you?
No, I'm kidding. He's just getting down there. Yeah, but it's been a while. I love to fish. Catfish is my all-time favorite. We sit trout lines out all the time and bush hooks just for that reason.
Uh-huh.
And we can catch some really nice
Bet you do.
Channel calf and blues.
Mm-hmm.
Good
eating.
Good eats right there. Yeah, you bet.
You betcha.
All right. Well, thank you. I just wanted to drop that. I thought that
you
was
bet.
Hey,
I appreciate you listening to the show and giving us a call. It always adds so much. It keeps me from having to talk so much.
There you go. All right. Appreciate it, man. It's a good show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling,
sir.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. It's 16 after the hour. We've got time for this, don't we? Let's talk now to who's up next. Let's talk to Lindsay. Calling from the Quality Deer Management Association. Good morning, Lindsay.
Hey, O'Neill. How are you this morning?
Lovely. I will tell everybody that I preach that every sportsman should belong to 2 wildlife organizations so that you understand about wildlife in that particular varmint, if you will, or species. And the place for you to understand more about the white-tailed deer than any other organization in the country is the Quality Deer Management Association, located in Bogart, Georgia. And that's why Lindsay is calling.
Thank you, O'Neill. I know it. You have always been a very good friend of QDMA's for a long time, and we appreciate everything you've done for us.
Well, it's my pleasure. What do you got going on?
Well, we've got our Whitetail Weekend coming up next weekend, this coming weekend. March starts Thursday, March 12th through Saturday the 14th at our headquarters just outside of Athens, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a bunch of educational events. As you said, you recommend us for folks who want to learn more about deer. Well, this is the event for them. If you're in Georgia or in a neighboring state and can get to us, we would love to have you. We're going to have stuff going on all day Friday at our headquarters. We're going to have educational events going on all day Saturday at the Classic Center in downtown Athens, followed by our grand banquet and auction Saturday night. So just a ton of stuff going on, a lot of great speakers and things to learn about for any deer hunter. And that's what I was calling to tell you about and ask your listeners to check us out and maybe come join us in Athens this weekend.
Okay, and they can find out more about it by visiting QDMA.com.
That's correct. There's a big page on the home page, a big advertisement you can click, take you straight to the Whitetail Weekend page to see all of the speakers and seminars and details.
Well, I will comment, if you will let me, that I have been to that seminar, that meeting, that weekend several times over the years.
Yes.
And I learn something every time about whitetails, how you hunt them, how they live, why they do things, why they travel, and I'm always surprised at what you can learn from going to this convention, this seminar, this weekend.
We do a ton of different things, as you know, not only about how to hunt deer, but, you know, how to eat deer, how to cook venison. We've got Danielle Bennett, who's she's better known as Diva Q Barbecue. She's a national barbecue champion coming down. She killed her first deer this past fall with us on one of our Field to Fork hunts, and she's coming to be with us and teach us how to do reverse seared backstrap and some other non-traditional venison techniques. We've got Mark Kenyon coming down from Michigan. He's the head of Wired to Hunt to talk about his 40-acre small property management project he's had going. We've got folks from UGA coming to talk about deer research. We've got all kind of folks. William Yancey with the Furminator here in Georgia is coming to be with us to talk food plots. A whole lot will be going on.
Well, I won't be there for other reasons, but be sure and say hello to William for me. He's one of my favorite characters in this business.
Yes, he is mine too, and I will definitely do that.
Absolutely. I've always said, Lindsay, and thank you for getting up early to call us, whether it's fishing, hunting, management, all kind of wildlife, whatever it is you're doing, the more you know, the more you understand, the greater capability you have to enjoy it.
And that's quality, right. That is absolutely right.
And quality deer management is the way to go for whitetail deer nationwide. It's not just Georgia deer, is it?
That is right. We are here for anywhere there's a whitetail, and any deer hunter who has whitetails where they hunt.
Mm-hmm. It's a marvelous organization, and I hope you don't mind. I think I'm correct. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. This is not just gossip around a deer camp. This is not just exchange of stories around a campfire.
That is correct.
This is scientific research that tells these attendees about whitetail deer.
That's correct. We're a science-based organization, always have been. We go to the research to know what's the right way to manage deer. How do you decide when you need to take a doe and how many? How do you increase the numbers of adult bucks that are going to be out there? How do you improve the habitat? So we go to the science on that and always have. But we also go to the science on how do we ensure the future of our whitetail resource and our ability to hunt them? How do we recruit new hunters? So that's why we've always been a science-based organization.
Okay, let me ask you one question, yes or no, no explanation. Am I reasonably correct when I say, because I've said it again and I don't want to get in trouble, there are probably more whitetail deer in North America now than there was when Columbus landed?
Yes.
Okay, there you are. I'll take it at your word. Thanks for calling, Lindsay.
Thank you for having us, O'Neill.
You bet. See you soon, pal. This is O'Neill. We'll be back. Travel on. It's 25 after the hour, and you have been and are listening to Works Radio. O'Neill outside, Saturday mornings, 4 to 6 a.m. Right now, she's been holding on quite a while. Let's talk. Oh, did I lose Liz? I'm sorry, guys. Doggone it. I wanted to talk to her because she had some fox sightings I wanted to chat about. But right now, anyway, let's talk to Richard. Is calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Well, I guess you have an alternative instead of...
That's right. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. I understand that if you took the state of West Virginia and flattened it out without any mountains, just flattened it all out, it would be bigger than Texas. Is there any truth to that?
The only thing I could say to that is, not knowing, I cannot say. Henceforth, I hesitate to respond.
Okay. I knew you were too sensible to respond.
I don't know where you come up with that, but it sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, sure enough. It's something to say anyway. That's all I do, is just have something to say.
Well, that's what you do.
That's exactly.
I mean, everybody's got a purpose, so I guess that's yours.
You betcha. What's on your mind this morning, Richard?
I'm just thinking, if you want to get, I don't know, how big, I guess it depends maybe on what part of the country. If your goal is to catch a huge catfish, I'm just thinking this is the way you want to do it, that you would go down to the river put a put the chicken livers or a dough ball on and a sinker and just let it go to the bottom or close to it and just sit there and catch it because they feed on the bottom. Is that what they do? They lay on the bottom. This is just what I'm thinking. I have no idea. But I'm just thinking they lay on the bottom and they're lazy and they just look for somebody to throw chicken livers down there and or a big dough ball, and that's how you would catch a huge
catfish.
Okay,
well, I can help you with that. You know, a catfish has whiskers, okay? They're not whiskers. They're called barbels, and those are scent detractors. They're scent. He uses these whiskers to find food. He finds his food by smell, and he uses those whiskers to do that. And you are right. He is on the bottom generally, when there's enough oxygen there, and he swims very slowly in, and he tracks down the chicken livers, the dough ball, the whatever is nice and smelly, okay? Now, here's a little tip, all right? When you're catfishing, about every 2 minutes, pick up your rod and move the bait about 6 inches. That stirs up the water that's around the bait and allows the scent from that bait to track further around in the area, and he will find it.
Every 2 minutes you do that?
Every 2 minutes. Just pick up the rod and feel it. And that will move it maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 inches. And that will add to the distribution of the smell. And that's what he will find. As a matter of fact, Richard, not only does he have taste buds or his barbels, but his entire skin on his body is laced with taste buds. So he tracks it with his skin and his barbels, and that's how he finds his food.
Okay, but is that the way you do it? Just say, like here, the river. I could go down. We have something called the Ohio River. I could just go down there on the bank and just cast it in.
Yes.
I don't know how deep it is, but if you just throw it in there, if they lay on the bottom, I mean, do you have to get to the bottom? Or I'm just thinking if you just go down to the river and throw, that's what you're going to do, just put a sinker on and throw a dough ball or some chicken livers in.
Okay,
is the river a good place to catch them?
Right. Here's the next tip. All right. The river current will help you because it spreads the scent. Now, this is an unusual kind of rig I'm going to tell you about, but it's not mysterious. You have a weight, you know, you've got a lead sinker. And between the lead sinker and the hook or your bait, put a little small float. That will keep your bait about 5 or 6 inches off the bottom.
And put a float on there then.
Yeah, put a float, a little, you know, a narrow cork float, and that will keep that bait just up off the bottom. It'll help you keep you from getting hung up. And the catfish will find it better. He'll hit that scent and track it down better if that float keeps your bait up off the bottom.
How big do they get, do you know?
Well, the world's record blue cat, I believe, is about 140 pounds.
Oh, we're not going to have something like that in the river around here.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I don't know, but they get big. They grow their entire lives. I would tell you that my experience, the best catfishing lake in the country is Santee Cooper Lakes near in the Carolinas. And my friend, I fished with him many days. His name is Captain Darrell Smith. He fishes 300 days a year, and he's guided people from 60 countries. And his biggest blue cat is 101.5 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Every,
that's something that big. I was thinking maybe 40 or 50 pounds.
Well, and that, and you will catch some of those. In my times, let's see, I got time for this, I do. And I have fished with Daryl probably 6 or 8 times. And every time that I fish with Daryl, we take a, one of those big 70-quart coolers, and we fill up that cooler with catfish before lunchtime. Many, many of them from 10 to 35 pounds. My biggest catfish I ever caught with Daryl weighed 63 pounds.
Yeah, 100 and some. I mean, that's way too big. I just wanted to get something like 40 or 50 pounds, something like
that.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I tell you, here's the best way for you to do it. Hire a guide for a day. And let him take you, and you tell him what you want to do and when you want to do it. It's probably too cold now, but this summer, when it starts heating up, that's when you go catfishing.
All right, that's what I was trying to find out, just something
okay.
like that, how big they are, what's the procedure to go through, so you told me.
You bet. Okay. Richard, okay. I always enjoy your calls and your questions.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Glad you called. Good luck to you, pal. Okay, we'll drop that call. Let's see, it's 33 after. Let's talk to, who's up next? Let's talk to Craig. Craig is calling. Good morning, Craig. What do you say?
You going to catch catfish that big, you better get me up some hush puppies and grits.
That's right. Yeah, there's some whoppers, boy.
Ooh, they are some big ones. I suspect he's got some up there. He said Ohio River, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and there are some grown ones in that river.
Mm-hmm. Making me hungry. It is early in the morning. My grandmother used to eat them for breakfast. But anyway,
oh,
hey, O'Neill, let me tell you something or ask you something.
Go.
I got about, down here on this little old place in Tai-Tai, we got about a hunt, probably 12 turkeys. I seen them yesterday.
Uh-huh.
There's 3 gobblers in the bunch. But
okay.
I wonder if all these raccoons I'm seeing laying on the side of the road and everywhere, I've seen more raccoons this year than I've seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they got to eat.
Absolutely.
Eggs, a raccoon.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, even though I got about 12 in this, I don't know what you call it. What you call a bunch of turkeys?
A drove.
A drove. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever they call, there's a bunch of pretty ones. But and I just didn't look at them. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the kind is because, you know, I see it all the time in GOE and it's down.
Yeah. That, well, the raccoons will sure get those eggs, that's for sure.
Yep. All right, I'm going to let somebody else get in there, man. We enjoyed the show every morning.
You bet. I appreciate you calling, sir, and I appreciate the compliment about the show. I really do appreciate it. There we go.
See you, bud.
You betcha. All right, it's 34 after the hour. I got to be out of here in a couple of minutes. But, hey, here's our old buddy, Scott Maxim. What do you say, Scott?
I say good morning to you, sir. How are you on this fine day?
Lovely, lovely. How about you? What are you getting up so early for?
Well, I'm up early, not by choice. I'm just kind of woke up. I figured I'd give you a call, check in, and see what's going on with you here.
Mighty fine. Well, it's wintertime. But the turkey...
You got
turkey,
that right. Yeah.
Yeah, turkey season is about to begin.
Yeah, actually, I believe that starts just before my birthday this year, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, on the 21st.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's... yeah, 24th is the birthday thing, so...
Mm-hmm. There you go. And how old will you be? 73, 74?
No, I'm pushing the 51. I'm working on my second half century.
Oh,
right,
there
now.
You are. Second half of the decade.
Yeah. So yeah, but the game plan this weekend is actually I'm kind of laying low. I got diagnosed with a hernia here, so I think I'm just going to go out to the gun show and look at pretty objects today.
There you go. What gun show will you be visiting today?
I think, believe the Eastman Gun Show is here this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. March 7th through 8th here. I'm looking at it right now at the Cobb Civic Center. So I think I'm going to slide on through there and take a look and see if anything tempts me today.
And I'll bet you will be.
Oh, trust me. Every time I go to one of these things, I'm always tempted by the pretty shiny objects that go bang.
What's the old adage? If you know how many guns you've got, you don't have enough.
there's that one, and I've also worked with the premise that if a man only has one gun, he's pretty darn good with it.
I hadn't heard that one. That's good. All right, I got to go, pal. Stay in touch.
Will do, sir. Have a great morning.
You bet. We'll see you soon. This is O'Neill. We'll be back. Every morning when you come downstairs. Okay, 40 minutes after the hour. Let's give away a Rocco's prize, a $25 gift certificate or coupon for you to go to Rocco's in Jasper, Georgia. It's one of our very favorite restaurants. Great wings, burgers, steak. Oh, it's great. Okay. Rocco's, R-O-C-C-O, Rocco's Pub. All right. Number one, you have to be 18 years old to win this prize. And you cannot have won the Rocco's gift certificate prize before. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. Two ways to call. It's best if you live close to Rocco's. And the question is, what is Rocco's first name? You see, everybody calls him Rocco. That's not his first name. So, what is Rocco's first name? Call those numbers. First correct answer wins the Rocco's prize. What do you think of that? Here's an opportunity. The Georgia turkey season begins on the 21st. But next weekend, the 14th, it's legal. You have to have the licenses and everything. It's legal for you as a license holder to take into the woods, to take in for a turkey hunt, a youngster under 16. Now, he doesn't have to have a license. You can call the turkey for him. You can escort him. He can call. She can call. And it's also for the disabled, those in wheelchairs and otherwise disabled, for you to look after them so that they get to go turkey hunting in Georgia on the 14th instead of waiting till the 21st. They can go after that, of course, but the woods are going to be for turkey hunters. And so why not do that? Okay, be in touch with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources at their website, and you will get a better explanation than the one I just gave you about that. Let's see who's got the caller coming up right now. Okay. No winner yet. So you guys keep trying. What is Rocco's first name? I hope he didn't. I should have got approval for that, but I didn't. You know, this is a risky business being in radio. I tell you, it's a risky business. But it's fun. And I don't know how many more years I'm going to do this, but I plan on doing it for a few more years as long as I can still talk without stumbling around too much and becoming a foolish old man. So, anyway, there you are. That's a nice feature from the Georgia Department of Resources. Now, another thing that Georgia DNR is doing, this is good. This is really good. It's look it up on DNR. Just don't take my word for it. It's called Camp Talon, T-A-L-O-N. And what is it? It's a summer adventure school or classes for teens to visit the Georgia coast and learn all about the Georgia coast, the fisheries, the tides, the swamps, the shellfish, all of those things, and field trips and classes. And I understand this fills up every year, so do it now. Be in touch with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources. Register. It's a June camp, but you need to do it now. This is a very small group of youngsters that get to go to this camp. Does it cost money? Well, of course it does. Not much, I don't think. Let's see. It's even mentioned. Small can, no. You know, it's space is limited. Check that out. It's really special because it's within the little bubble world that I live in. It's really special for me to talk to a teenager or a younger below that understands and the outdoors and has experience. So let's go to Let's go to Monty calling from Ackworth, Georgia. Monty, what's Dan's first name? Up. See what I mean?
It's Daddy.
What's Rocco's first name?
It's Daddy. I've known him a while.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, and do you go there often?
When he was in Marietta, I was there about every day, but I haven't been up to Jasper yet.
Well, you're on your way now because you've got a $25 gift certificate.
Thank you so much. Love your show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your participation. Tell him I said hello. I'm going to go there in the next couple of days, but I want you to surprise him, okay?
All right, sure will.
Mighty fine. Have a great weekend, pal.
You too.
You bet. There you go. Well, that turned out well, didn't it? What's Dan's first name? Oh, my goodness. That's great. All right, let's put ourselves together here for a moment, and listen to the introduction for the Medal of Honor, and we'll do
honor, courage,
this Medal
and
of Honor.
Strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
This is going to be a tough one. Specialist Fourth Class Leslie H. Sabo, Jr., Cambodia, 1970. Sabo and his platoon were conducting a reconnaissance patrol when they were ambushed from all sides by a large enemy force. Without hesitation, Sabo charged the position, killing several of the enemy. He then assaulted an enemy flanking force, successfully drawing their fire away from friendly soldiers and ultimately forcing the enemy to retreat. He then sprinted across an open field to a wounded comrade. As he reloaded, a grenade landed nearby. He picked it up, tossed it away, and then shielded. The wounded soldier with his own body, thus absorbing the brunt of the blast and saving his comrade's life. Seriously wounded now by the blast, he then single-handedly charged an enemy bunker that had inflicted much damage on the platoon. He received several serious wounds in that process. Now, mortally wounded, he crawled toward the bunker, and with a grenade that he tossed in, he killed them all. As in doing so, he took his own life. His courage and complete disregard for his own safety saved the lives of many of his platoon members. Specialist Sabo's extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty at the cost of his own life are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself and the U.S. Army. Leslie H. Sabo, Jr. died in combat May 1970. Okay. Sorry it takes me some of these. They're all special. And I apologize if I can't get through it without becoming emotional. I've only read that about a dozen times, and when I do it on camera, it gets worse. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Mark is calling from Atlanta on O'Neill Outside. We've got time for Mark. Absolutely. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Hey there.
Hey. So I've been fishing for the last couple weeks, every 4 days.
Uh-huh.
I usually take out, I do three rods. I set two up with one with liver and one with kind of a carp bait that I make at home.
Okay.
And and then I take my third one and I cast out little plastic lures for bass.
Right.
But I haven't been catching anything the last few weeks, and I was wondering if you think it would be worth it to take out a kayak, or maybe
well,
it's too cold. I don't know.
It doesn't matter whether you're on the bank, a kayak, or a bass boat. If you don't have fish close by, you're not going to catch any. Now,
yeah.
where are you fishing for these catfish? In a pond?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a tip that I'll bet works. What is the depth of the water where most of your bait presentations are going?
Yeah, about 10, 15 feet.
Okay. Do this. Before, you know, the day prior or as soon as you start in the morning, number mm-hmm. one, it's a little bit cold for catfish. They don't eat much when it's cold.
Yeah.
But buy a couple of cans of whole kernel corn in the
okay.
grocery store. And scatter it out where your bait is. Be generous so the corn is cheap. And scatter it out all around out there where your baits are. And then use the corn for bait. Unless
okay.
there aren't any catfish in that pond, you're about to catch them.
Okay.
Because the smell of that corn will permeate throughout that area. It will attract the catfish because, you know, he finds his food by smell.
Okay. And the other thing is mm-hmm. I like to fish windward. One of my friends lives up by Lake Windward.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen some massive grass carp in there, but I cannot get them to bite on corn.
Well, they're probably eating the weeds in the lake. They're probably a grass carp is called a white Amur, A-M-U-R, and what he
okay.
eats is what he eats is grass.
Mm.
So they're probably those people are real smart around Lake Windward.
Yeah,
and those grass carp are sterile.
Mm.
They get bigger and bigger and bigger, but they don't have any offspring.
Okay.
But he's a grass eater. He cleans up the lake. And I have never caught one. I don't know what you might use other than some weeds. But I don't know. Maybe somebody can tell us how to catch grass carp. I don't know. I've never done that. But they can get big. They can get 50, 60 pounds. I'm sure it's quite a struggle, but I've never heard of anyone catching one.
Hmm.
Hmm.
All right.
So there you are. I have fished windward on several occasions, and the bass fishing is good around the docks.
Yeah, I've caught some bass there.
Yeah, because people put brush under the docks. Here's a great idea. Ready? I got time to get to it. Can you legally evidently fish on windward?
Yeah.
Okay. Hurry up now in the next couple of weeks and anchor down and tie to the dock, put several bales of hay or bales of grass.
Okay.
Anchor it down, tie it to the dock so you can get it out if you need to be, and that will attract fish from 100 yards in every direction, and that dock will become a fish factory for you.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Have a great one, son. Call back more often.
Okay.
You bet. See you soon. This is O'Neill. A little bit more when we return.
Down hero at the bar, burned out highline superstar, you know.
Well, turkey season is on the way. Are you ready? Well, you should be. Turkey season, the number one big game animal in North America, and I'm going to tell you why I think that. And before I get to that, we referred earlier to Quality Deer Management Association and the benefits from being a member, and so that you can learn about white-tailed deer. The other organization, and there are dozens, another organization that you should be a member of is the Wild Turkey Federation.
that's where you learn about turkey hunting, but you really learn by going into the woods. But that's a great organization, and it wasn't all that many years ago that I think I've got my figures correct, Lee, that there were only like 400,000 wild turkeys in the United States. Now, I understand, because of conservation efforts, because of the licenses and permits and fees and excise taxes and all that money going into wildlife conservation, now in the United States, I understand, there's something like about 7 million turkeys. It's the number one big game animal in North America because you have to wear camo, you cannot move, you call and you get a response, shot placement, you just don't shoot the bird, you shoot a certain spot on the bird even when you're using a muzzleloader bullet. And then finally, you're taking the turkey out of his normal activity. You see, in turkey hunting, the gobbler wakes up, he sits on the limb and he gobbles. And he gobbles again, and the hens hear him, and if they want to mate, which is governed by the number of hours of daylight, that's when the turkey season begins, because the increased number of hours of daylight, and they go into their mating season, and when he gobbles, the hens will either run over there to him, or they'll fly over there to him. But you don't go over there when you call. You're sitting still, so you have to get him to come to you. It's the greatest hunt there is. Hey, thanks for joining us this week on O'Neill Outside. Have a great weekend. Plan some great trips with the kids. And if you're too busy to go fishing or hunting and take a child along, you're too busy. I'll see you guys next week.
The whole day just an old sweet song.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.